Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my hands of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your host, Memphis, at DFF Memphis, and tonight's show might be the most polished one yet. Now, we'll get into this at the body of the show, but tonight's guest, Dallas, is also a podcast host. Now, he talks a little football, he talks a little fantasy football, as he is a redraft player at heart, but he also talks about cool sports history, he talks about history, just a history of the world, and other interesting stuff. So he will come across very polished and very well put together, because he is an experienced podcast host, even if he is a little newer to our beloved game of Dynasty. So first of all, a couple of things. I want to start by thanking you all very much. I am starting to see some of the cross-traffic from the Dynasty Happy Hour family over at the Dynasty Warzone. And thank you. Thank you very much on behalf of not only me, but my co-host Jerry. Now, I could recommend following him on Twitter at JerrySinDWZ, but remember, you've been warned. No, I'm just kidding. Jerry's a great dude, but we know in all sincerity, we have seen the improvement in our ranking of fantasy podcast rankings, and we're a Dynasty show, and to be going where we're going, I know this audience has been supporting that, so thank you very much for that. Please leave both shows, not just only the Dynasty Happy Hour, but the Dynasty Warzone. Leave both shows a 5-star review. That is the number one way to help both show feeds grow. It means a lot to potential advertisers. It means a lot to us just trying to stand out from those that also do the same thing. All right, so let's get into this. So Dallas is a good dude. Dallas is actually the first one, actually the second one of the guests on the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor that is not a Dynasty Warzone Patreon. So people have asked, hey, does this cost money? I had one guy reach out. He'll be on the show probably in July. He reached out and said, hey, does this cost me money? How much does this cost? It's as free can be. But the Patreons, I have to have something in it for them. So if a Patreon needs to be worked into the rotation, I'm going to work them into the rotation. That's just life. You know, Patreons, why charge? It's not a bunch of money, guys. If you drink Starbucks, if you like Starbucks, my wife loves Starbucks, Grande blonde roast coffee. That's like $3. If you could not have two of those in a given week, you just paid for the other 29 days of the Dynasty Warzone. It's $5 a month. It's not very expensive at all. And not only do you get one-on-one service with me or Jerry, but you also get thrown into the group chat with a few dozen other people that are hardcore Dynasty players, and it's great. I don't want to say that we had an argument, but we had a strongly heated debate about trading George Kittle the other day in the Patreon group chat. So those are some of the pros. It's a small investment in your Dynasty game. And no one has to stick around forever. My goal and my motto over there is that we are going to help you so much by answering questions and helping you shift your mindset on some things Dynasty related that you'll be able to leave in no time. You'll have the confidence and the skills to go do this on your own. But also, the other end of the goal is to treat you so well that you never want to leave. So that's the Patreon. But again, Dallas, he's not one. He's just a cool dude. And he's very well spoken, and he's got a really good roster. He's got basically a championship roster that he's trying to nudge over the fence. He's trying to win that ship. And I will caution all of you on this as I get ready to grab Dallas for tonight's show. Remember this. It takes skill to get to the playoffs. It takes skill to set that lineup each and every week to make the right call between this guy or this guy. Should I put him in my flex or this guy in my flex? That takes skill to make the playoffs, to win enough to at least get in that six or top four, whatever your league rules are. But it takes luck. It takes luck to win it all. You could have a stacked roster. This happened to me a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm talking, it was a startup, and I got, I don't say lucky, but I had gotten DeAndre Hopkins in 2018, and I had Saquon, and I had Christian McCaffrey. And this thing was Andrew Luck. I mean, this roster was ridiculous. Amari Cooper was another guy. And go back to week 15 of the 2018 season. Just about every player I mentioned crapped the bed. So, was that me being a bad owner or was that me getting unlucky? It was probably more of me getting unlucky. But remember, if you've got a good roster and you're getting to the Final Four and you're getting to the championship and you can't get over the hump, it's not always an indicator that you're a bad dynasty owner. So anyway, I want to thank you guys for tuning in again. Thank you so much for checking out the Dynasty Warzone. We're in the middle of our three-team parlay series. That's where we review three teams from 2019 based on 2019's points per game. We take a team from the top third, the middle third, and the bottom third, and we break them down. We talk about who's new. We talk about who left. Talked about coaching changes. We talk about stock up, stock down, if we're buying a guy, if we're selling a guy, and all the whys. These shows are a little bit longer. They're in the hour and 20 range, but we're getting deep into it. Sometimes we have a guest. Sometimes we don't, but we're mostly getting ready for the 2020 NFL season. And on Friday, if you're listening to this today on Friday, there is a two-round startup mock draft with some of our Patreons. Memorial Day weekend, me and a handful of the Patreons, we jumped on a Zoom, and we did a two-round startup mock. And it's interesting, there was some curveballs thrown, but it's a good time. That's all available over at the Dynasty Warzone. But enough of all that. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. Enjoy my conversation with Dallas. And we'll talk real soon. Bye, guys. All right. And here he is on the contractor. His name is Dallas Hyder, but you can follow him on Twitter at Salad Galore. Now, that salad has two L's, like Dallas. What a great Twitter handle. Dallas, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor.
Yeah, Memphis, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Thanks for sharing your team with me and being willing to jump on this podcast and discuss it. So let's just jump right into it. Tell us a little bit about your dynasty history. There was a podcast many moons ago that used to say, tell us about your dynasty life. Just tell us a little bit about you and how long you've been playing dynasty and fantasy sports in general.
All right. Yeah. So I got my intro into the whole dynasty league portion probably about 5 years ago. That's when we started our, you know, bread and butter dynasty with most of my friends from college. But I've been doing fantasy football for, I guess it would be going on about 11 years. This will be the 11th season. Started my first redraft league fresh into high school with a bunch of buddies, and that one's still going. But since then, I've kind of delved into the whole dynasty scope here, and we're here to talk about my home league, the one that I care about the most. So I'm excited to get into it.
Oh, well, now the pressure's really on because I'm helping you with your baby. You know, this is every owner, I don't care how many leagues you have, everybody has a league that is your favorite, is your go-to. We all have one. So the pressure's mounted up. Now, this is a 12-team league, one QB with 6 points per passing touchdown. That is a bigger difference maker than people realize. Half-point PPR, again, It's not a huge difference, but it makes a difference. And then tight end premium is plus an additional half point. So based on what I'm reading, tight ends get 1 point per PPR. A wide receiver, running back, would get a half point. That's correct?
Correct.
Okay. And how are you feeling about your overall team? We'll get into players and moves and stuff here in just a minute. Mm-hmm. But what are your overall thoughts on this team? And just give me a little insight.
Yeah. So coming out of the gates when I drafted the team originally, I drafted really strong. Since we started the actual league in the first year, I've made the playoffs all 4 years, going into the fifth one. I think that I'm in contention again. Six teams make the playoffs. It's the same thing with the bye general structure with that in week 13 and everything. But my issue with this one specifically is that I've made it in the playoffs, I've made it to the semis, and I've lost in the semis every single year. So it's one of those things where I'm looking good. I usually end up with the bye. The last 2 years I've gotten the bye, made it in, coast in, and then I just get my butt whooped in the first round going into the semis. So I'm just trying to get over that last hump. Personally, I think I'm pretty close. I don't have a lot of holes in my eyes on my roster, but I'm going to see some change here in the next year or so on a couple of my positions. And so I think my window's now with a couple of additions, and then I'm in rebuild here after next year or so.
Well, I like your overall analysis, and I like the fact that you've put this much work into your team. I look at the team, and we're going to jump into it just a minute. I do want to cover the league chat and the activity. You said the league activity is a cold fish and the group chat's moderate. So can you break those two down for me?
Yeah, so I would consider the actual activity pretty cold fish. When I consider cold fish, the way I'm looking at it is that unless myself or about two other owners are the ones sending you a trade usually doesn't happen. It can be kind of frustrating sometimes, and it's not really that they don't want to make moves. It's more of a raw, like, apprehension to make their team worse. A lot of our guys in our league want to win the trade. They don't want to lose it. They're okay with tying, but if they lose the trade, they're basically not going to trade with you again. So it's made for kind of an awkward situation over the years. It's getting a little bit better. We've actually had turnover this recent year. Two of the guys that were in our league are in med school. One just went off to rotations, and the other one just graduated. So they both had to basically orphan over two of their teams. And so the two new guys that are in are making some moves. It's getting a little bit more life, but overall, it's been pretty cold. And then when you look at the group chat, we're all buds. We've known each other for a minimum of about 5 years now. So that chat is pretty active. We're always talking about sports, but it's usually not pertaining directly to our league.
Okay, so one thing I'm going to advocate for this group. I know people hate it, and they call them bull crap or whatever, but this is the kind of league where introducing avid use of, and maybe you guys just use one collectively, is a trade calculator. Hey guys, I'm not saying that we have to line this thing up perfectly and nail it to the decimal point, as I'm a big fan of the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Izzy and JP are friends. They're good dudes, but more importantly, they have a good product, and it's always evolving, and it's not that expensive. It's one of those things to where if you guys can just use it to get in the ballpark, that, you know, like with the big pieces. It's like we're talking about being a contractor. It's like framing a house. That, you know, building the foundation. Okay, this trade, we're going to talk about some of that here in a bit when we talk about your roster. Just find one. Hey guys, I know trades are a little slow. Can we agree to a vehicle or a service that would help us stimulate some trade action? Because I know nobody wants to lose a trade. No one wants to get, you know, beat or whatever. But just something to, you know, spur a little action. They may say no. They may tell you, nah, that's not for us, which is fine too. But any suggestion as being a proactive owner to stir the pot and get it going is never a bad thing. Like I said, a bad suggestion is better than no suggestion.
Yeah, completely agree on that. I have used the trade calculator before. I've got it, and I think one other guy does have it. We haven't really opened it up to everyone. That's definitely something we could do. It's just sometimes you get that kickback from the owners like, well, why is that trade calculator the right one as compared to the other ones? You can try and fight that battle. But yeah, it's something that we could definitely open up to everyone. It's just kind of that weird gray area, you know?
Yeah, that's why, you know, that's why I would mention trying to find one. Hey guys, do some research. Look into trade calculators. I know Matt Kelly, the Podfather, has the Dynasty Dominator. I know there are others out there too. I don't know all of them because I just use the DTC. I like the look. I like the mobile function. And again, I actually did a trade the other day where I quote unquote lost by 10%. I really don't care that much because all the trade calculators really do, for the most part, is they plug in ADP, they plug in, you know, various things into a formula, and it just spits out a number. And it just gets me in the ballpark. Okay, you don't have to get me at the 50-yard line, right in the middle of the field, spot on. Dude, just get me in the stadium. I'll take it from there, and we can work deals. But just make the suggestion. Hey, if you've never used one, hey, guys, go check this thing out. Find one. And then that more than anything for tepid owners, now they feel like they have a secret weapon. They feel like they've got something that they can go to, and it will make them more comfortable for doing trades. It's no different than going to the gym. You know, the person who goes to the gym who signs up and, you know, hires a personal trainer, they feel much more comfortable that they're going to be steered in the right direction than the person who just goes in there and wings it. And remind them, hey guys, you're investing in your dynasty game. So never a bad thing, but let's invest in your roster. Let's just check this thing out. Talking about quarterback, man, you've got Aaron Rodgers. And once you get past Aaron Rodgers, nobody took a bigger beating in free agency than this roster. Well, we've had a couple, but I can tell you three prominent guys that had some reshuffling. You got Aaron Rodgers as your QB1. I'm fine with that, especially in a 6 point per passing touchdown league. But then you have Cam, currently unemployed. Andy Dalton, if Dak can't get his stuff together, maybe you backdoor a good starter, but I doubt it. And then Marcus Mariota. So you got really guys who signed two backup deals and a guy who's currently unemployed. How are you feeling about your QB room?
Oh, talking off the ledge. Just going to be honest with you. I've been in panic mode about the QB position for about a year. So as you remember, at the beginning of the year when Cam was healthy, at the beginning of the season, Cam actually was my starter. I didn't have Aaron Rodgers on my roster at the beginning of this last season. The thing with him that made me uncanny and a little unwary, basically, was the fact that he put up two stinkers to begin the season, then he went on IR. And it was the second season in a row he had been hurt. I then, at that time, also had Jimmy Garoppolo on my roster, and Jimmy G was not doing it for me during the beginning half of the season either. So I made some moves. I actually shipped off Derrick Henry last year in order to get Russell Wilson. And so that was the move I made. Since then, obviously, I've moved on from Russell Wilson and got Aaron Rodgers in another trade. But I still only have that one starter. So even if I just had one backup, it would make me feel a lot more comfortable. But we'll get into this a little bit if you're fine with it. Our QB is like our diamond in the rough for some reason in our league. Even though it's a one QB, it acts a lot more like a super flex.
Okay. So where do you think Joe Burrow will go? And because I'm going to kind of do something different with your overall help this week. I'm going to kind of integrate the picks in there. You've got the 102, which we're going to talk about running back here in a minute, but then you got the 204. It's a little high for a QB and a one QB league, but if they value him like that, would you consider taking a Burrow or Tua there?
Yeah, and I would. And the reason I don't know if it's going to work out, though, is because of how hotly our QBs go. So like I said, it's almost like a super flex. Kyler Murray went number 3 overall last year in our one QB. And so, like, that's something that happened. I actually was talking to a guy on Twitter earlier today about this. Since our league started, there's only been 4 quarterbacks that have made it out of the second round that are going into basically, like, starter positions. And those ones were, like, Daniel Jones went undrafted last year. Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, no one believed in him. And then there was, like, 2 other ones way back in the day, like Deshaun Kaiser and someone else. But other than that, pretty much every other quarterback is gone. Baker went in the second. Lamar went in the second. Sam Darnold went in the second. Like, it's been a perennial just, you got to get them quick or you're not going to get them type of thing with our league.
And then, obviously, with this being a cold fish league, you may not be able to acquire one.
Yeah.
One thing I would do, if this is possible, I don't know, you know these guys better than I do. But if there was a way that you could, you know, look at that rebuilding team and inquire, I mean, I don't want to tell you to go out and get another aged quarterback like a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees. But I think I would let the 204 make some decisions for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you're looking for a younger guy. Are there any young QBs that you really have your eye on that you think would be a good handoff to Aaron Rodgers in maybe a year or two?
Yeah, so for me, I kind of mentioned him earlier. I don't know how you feel specifically about Daniel Jones. I know there's a lot of hype around him.
Well, hold on. You're talking to the original Daniel Jones hype man. Okay. I have Daniel Jones everywhere. It's just to me with these young quarterbacks, especially, it's really a super flex for me. But for me, it's as simple as this. It's draft capital plus people around him plus opportunity. I mean, Daniel Jones, I knew from day one was going to be working with Saquon Barkley, Evan Engram, Golden Tate, and Sterling Shepard. I didn't know Darius Slayton was going to end up being as good as he at least has seemed to be through one season. But Daniel Jones, man, that he's right there for me. But keep going. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. But on the note of Daniel Jones, that is one of the teams that is in turnover. A new owner has come in, so I know he's active. I actually acquired DK from him this offseason. And so for that, he has Daniel Jones as his QB3 right now behind Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan. So I've kind of put the bug in his ear that I'm interested. I'm wanting to get it. We're just kind of talking compensation. And so I'm not sure where I'm going with that, but that's one. I'm also talking to the guy. I don't know how you feel about Matthew Stafford long term, especially with the injury. But that's another one where the guy's got, I think he has 4 QBs on his roster, and he's not starting Matthew Stafford as one of his 2 starters on a regular basis. So I'm just trying to make moves. Those are the 2 that I have my eye on. But if you have someone that you think specifically, I'm more than welcome to hear it.
No, I wouldn't do anything with a QB position until you actually get to draft day. Then you can DM me and we'll chat or whatever. That's what I would, you know, if Tua and Herbert and Burrow all go early, I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm fine. But at the 204, if all 3 of those quarterbacks go at the 204, you're going to wind up with a really good young asset that you're really going to like. That, or maybe then you can take a step back and say, man, I was really hoping to get one of these young guys. Hey, let me go kicking over rocks at this Daniel Jones guy. Because as we get into your wide receivers here in just a second, what you're going to get at the 204 in a 1 QB league, even if all 3 of the QBs go like you predict they will, you're going to get a wide receiver. And I'm going to go out on a limb when we get to it in a minute, but wide receiver is not a position of need for you. So that's the time when you can go to that guy who's rebuilding and say, hey, listen, you know, I know it's a 1 QB league and I feel like I'm overpaying a little bit, but that might be a time when you give him the 204 for a Daniel Jones. Is it an overpay in a 1 QB league? Maybe. It's a tad for me, a little bit, but that's a good deal. And remember, you to your point earlier, you don't have to win every trade. The best trade partner is the one that walks away happy. Hey, man, you know what? Dallas did me right. I walked away. I was happy. And that's someone you'll be able to do good business with down the road. You know, the guy, you know, sometimes if it's like a, I don't know, like a league that's not as close as this league, I'm a firm advocate of no problem trying to bleed a guy or a lady for everything you can get out of them. You know what? Even if I got to get their 3rd and I give them a 4th, sometimes I'm that way. But in this case, I don't have a problem with that. But I think that's a good solution. I like Aaron Rodgers. I love Matthew Stafford. I just drafted him in a startup myself. But based on the fact that Aaron Rodgers is 35 or 36 and Stafford's like 32, man, I'd really like you to have like that young guy. And then if he gets hot, you can rotate him in or play some matchups or whatever. I know the Giants have a rough, I think it's either to end the season or start the season, they have a rough stretch. So you can play some matchups.
I think it's to start, they have it really easy, but to end, they have it pretty rough is what it's supposed to be.
So, yeah, there you go. So getting a guy like Daniel Jones is someone that, because let's be honest, I don't think Aaron Rodgers has been a QB1 since, I mean, it was last year, but like a top 5 option for a while. I think it's been like since 2016. So he's, but in this format, I don't know. I don't have that scoring readily available. Mm. But he's going to be fine. But yeah, I think getting a Daniel Jones with that 204 would solve a lot of issues. Let's run over to the running back position real quick. Now, okay. One thing that you have that I like, you have one of my my favorite, quote-unquote, it's a term. I didn't invent the term, but I like using it for some running back situations, and this is one of them. It's double trouble. Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. And what I mean by double trouble is that, man, I think there'll be games where you can start both these guys, and you may have to based on the depth of this roster. But I think Alexander Mattison is going to have standalone value. Even if Dalvin Cook, God bless him, if he stays healthy and plays all 16 games, Mattison is going to have standalone value. I don't know that it will be quite the standalone value as the RB2 in Cleveland like Nick Chubb, like I think Marlon Mack will be, like Phillip Lindsay in Denver. But these double trouble backfields, man, it's great that you have Dalvin Cook. And if one of these guys gets hurt, man, the other one just goes to the moon. So yeah. I would absolutely I like that pairing. Then you have Todd Gurley. How are you feeling about him in Hotlanta and that knee?
Well, he just posted a picture of him on a leg press doing a third of a rep like 15 times. Obviously, I'm pretty comfortable. No, just kidding. But for me, Gurley is an acquisition. I didn't believe the knee hype last year. I bought into him on the cheap. The guy that was trying to get rid of him didn't believe that he could hold up. Ultimately worked out pretty well for me. He was still top 14. I think he finished 14th in our scoring running back. And I only had to give up, I think I gave up David Montgomery and Brandon Cooks for Gurley and someone else on the back end of my roster. But it ended up panning out. When it comes to this year, he has no competition. I think Ito Smith kind of proved the point that he can't really hold up just as well as pretty much any of the other backs. For some reason, Atlanta just kind of grinds their running backs down. It would help if they had an offensive line, which is one of the issues. But I do think he's being underrated by quite a bit this year. Personally, I think he still is definitely in that top 24 ranking, but I still am pretty confident that he'll have a top 15 finish.
Yeah, and he slid into what I would consider Devonta Freeman's old role. And Freeman last year, as much as we all gave him the business in full point PPR, he scored, I think he was RB23 overall. And wasn't bad on a per-game basis. I think on a points-per-game basis, he was almost identical to Joe Mixon at 14 PPR, full point PPR points a game. And how did he do that? Because he had 70 targets for 59 receptions. That's how he did it. And the one guy he might be out there on waivers in this league, and you got a couple other guys you can get rid of. I would go out and see if Ito Smith is on the waiver wire. I got him on the waiver wire in a couple of leagues. I may never need him. He may never turn into anything. But I like him a lot better than. I don't know, some other guys we tend to hang on to. Like, if I had to cut Marcus Mariota to pick up Ito Smith in a 1QB league, I'm all about that action.
I completely agree. The thing is, I know he's not on the waiver because I shipped him in one of my trades, and that was when I had Ito Smith and Devonta Freeman. So I kind of, you know, bit myself in the butt on that one. But, yeah, I agree. I love that double trouble is how you were naming it. I love doing it, especially with those injury-prone running backs like Freeman and Gurley.
Well, you got another one. You got James Conner.
Oh, I know.
Now I love James Conner, and I think James Conner, based on this is a theory of mine that it is. I think James Conner is going to give dynasty owners a huge sell window in about week 6. And why do I think that? It's because I'm a Colts fan. I live in Indianapolis, and I remember watching Andrew Luck come back from his shoulder surgery. You know, it was he wasn't throwing real footballs, and it was a big to do. You know, there's not a huge sample size of QBs coming back from Tommy John surgery. Tommy John surgery is traditionally a surgery done by done for baseball players, excuse me. So I truly believe that defense basically won them 8 games last year. They finished 8-8, barely missed the playoffs. And this is a team that has playoff, and if they play it right, could have a deep playoff set of aspirations. So if I'm that coach, if I'm that training staff, what's my plan early? I'm going to pound a guy on the final year of his rookie deal into the dirt. I'm going to run him, and I'm going to run Benny Snell, and I'm going to run the rookie Anthony McFarlane. I'm going to run these guys, and then I'm going to run these guys some more. and I'm gonna I'm gonna limit what I have to do to Big Ben's elbow, and just let him get reacclimated after a year off. Because like I said, if you go back and look at the game logs for Andrew Luck in the year he came back in 2018, he got off to a really slow start. But once he got, I don't say healthy, but once he got more acclimated and more in touch with the game again after missing so much time, he looked like Andrew Luck again. And I think by about week six, James Conner is going to give you a prime sell window to someone. You can say, see, he is Le'Veon Bell. You can trade him. And that's what I would look to do with Conner, but I think he's going to help you get some W's early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree on that one. When it comes to Conner, I think they're going to pound him. They're going to give him the Fournette treatment is what I think is going to happen. They're going to have a very similar role where they're not planning on keeping him long term. They know they can't stay healthy or be super, you know, productive with the touches that they're getting. I mean, James Conner is a very efficient pass catcher. I would agree with that. But when it comes to in between the tackles, he's not Saquon or anything like that. So I do agree with that. That was my plan, is at some point shipping him off, specifically if I start having the injury concerns that my roster has had over the last 2 years. I mean, I'm sure all of you listening can understand, based off of who we've named already, my situation was not great based off of injuries last year. But it's just something that I'm definitely considering to ship him off if the window opens for me.
All right, and let's talk about how the biggest opportunity we have with this roster is that's the 102. You have the second overall pick. I've got to assume you're going running back. Who do you think you'll get, and who do you want to get? I would assume that it's got to be some combination of Edwards-Helaire or Jonathan Taylor, or I don't know, maybe you're a Dobbins guy. I don't know. Who are you looking to get at that 102?
Yeah, so I normally would be conflicted for the shares of Mark Ingram that I have in my other leagues. I've tried tooth and nail fighting basically to go up to get Dobbins. I'm also from Ohio. We talked about that. So I'm an Ohio State guy at heart. But I know that my league, all of us are based in Kansas City here. Edwards-Helaire is going one overall. I can tell you that right now. They don't even care if he's not better than Jonathan Taylor. And in their minds, they're going to take him because of the fandom aspect. So I know I'm going to end up taking Jonathan Taylor. So for me personally, I have no problems with that. JT is one of those players where people can talk about the volume. To me, they can talk about Marlon Mack still being there. I do think Nyheim Hines is going to keep his pass catching role to a little bit, at least until Jonathan Taylor gets a little bit more comfortable in Indianapolis. But when it comes to a pure runner, outside of probably Saquon, I don't know that we've actually seen someone as a pure runner come out since AP that looks as good as Jonathan Taylor. So for me, you put him behind the best offensive line in the league, arguably in Indianapolis, with some added competent weapons in the rookies and Paris Campbell, T.Y., and then you get Phillip Rivers, who loves to check down to his backs. He's going to get more targets than he would have gotten in a different situation, even with Nyheim Hines, and he's got that running lane to just go ahead and truck through.
Well, I'm not going to go into too much of a tangent about Nyheim Hines and the Indy backfield, but I love Jonathan Taylor. And the beautiful thing of it is as Taylor acclimates himself into a bigger role, that'll be about the time where James Conner, I think, will start to slow down. Me personally, I'll just give you the thumbnail, the quick hitter. I'm not worried about Nyheim Hines. Indy could have featured Nyheim Hines last year when Marlon Mack went down. He could have got more work, but he didn't. He got, 3.9 fantasy points a game was his average last year. Yeah, he had 58 targets, and that may go up a little bit. But Indy rushed the ball 471 times, and they know 70 of those were for Jacoby Brissett, which will probably turn into targets for the running backs, quite honestly. But if that team's running the ball 450 times, Jonathan Taylor is going to get 200-plus, and he'll probably get the lion's share of them the back half of the season. I love the JT pick. I think you're on the right track with this running back team because you do know with a shortened, training camp, presumably due to COVID, they depth is going to be of a premium. So adding a guy like JT who should come on strong down the back half of the season, I love it because your other two backs are Devonta Freeman. Turned down one job. I don't know where he'd land. He was rumored to go to Tampa Bay. And then Bo Scarborough. There are people who think he'll still have a role. So won't go too in depth into those guys. Let's talk about your tight ends real quick, and we'll save the really good running the wide receiver room for last. So you've got last year's Memphis favorite Austin Hooper in the land, and then one of this year's Memphis favorites in Tyler Higbee with his handcuff. That's how I see it, in Gerald Everett. So how are you feeling with tight end premium? Are you feeling like this is enough for this roster?
I also have Noah Fant on there as well.
I'll be damned. I missed it. We talked earlier about how I had left my show notes at work.
You're good. But yeah, so I've got those ones. So with it being tight end premium, I've talked a couple of times earlier in the pod so far about how I've made quite a few moves this offseason. Going into this offseason, right after the playoffs last year, my tight end group was Hunter Henry, Dallas Goedert, Noah Fant, Tyler Higbee, and Gerald Everett. Since then, obviously, I have moved on from Hunter Henry and Dallas Goedert. With what I have right now, I could go 50-50, flip a coin. It doesn't matter to me. I did the swap for Hunter Henry for Austin Hooper. That was granted before he was traded to Cleveland. But those ones still, I don't really see that much of a hiccup there. And then with Fant, has the potential of booming this year. Higbee showed that he's very competent in the LA system, as well as Everett. For some reason, McVay keeps talking up Everett because that was his first draft pick, and everyone talks about that all the time. But I think I have the depth to be all right with it. And I'm confident that if I need to start one of those guys in one of my flex spots, I can get away with it. I'm not like gritting my teeth hoping for that touchdown. Just because of the PPR upside to some of these guys, and they're good offenses.
Well, I like your thought, and having Fant changes my analysis just a little bit. The issue with this tight end group is that you're going to have a tough time playing matchups. You're going to be looking at Fantasy Pros or, you know, ESPN. They're going to say that Tyler Higbee's got the 32nd toughest matchup against tight ends, and Austin Hooper's playing the toughest matchup for hot tight ends. And if this was best ball, man, you'd be in there like swimwear. But yeah. but you're going to be guessing a lot. So the fact that you have depth, I wouldn't do a lot. The note that I did have prior to that is look at Adam Trautman at like the 404. And if you feel like you're going to have to pull the trigger at the 309, consider it. I mean, Adam Trautman, for those that don't know, is a former high school quarterback. And if anyone's going to have a better time of shortening his learning curve with Drew Brees, it's going to be a fellow former quarterback. So I really like Trautman as a cheap option in this league. And if you're comfortable with Higbee and if you're comfortable with Hooper, man, I don't mind trying to move Noah Fant. That's a low volume offense, at least to date. They've got a new OC. We also covered Denver on Wednesday's Dynasty Warzone in a series we called Three Team Parlay, where we broke that down. And if you can find someone who's still super high on him, I would not hesitate to, you know, package one of these wide receivers that you have. And, hey, man, can I get to the Mark Andrews class? Can I move up? Can I level up just one level? Hey, I'll give you Noah Fant, and I'll give you I'll go ahead and throw one of your receivers out there, N'Keal Harry. Can we go to the Mark Andrews owner and say, hey, can we do this? I don't know. A lot of times when these really good tight ends, especially the big three or four, owners tend to dig in. But it's certainly a conversation worth having.
Yeah, and that's the move that I went to this offseason. Once I looked, I had the same analysis as you. Once I looked at my tight end group, I wanted to set it and forget it kind of guy. So I'm in talks right now. They've been going on for about a month now with the Kittle owner to send a package his way. I don't know exactly what it's going to be right now. He needs some help at the running back position. I don't think I want to give up the 102, obviously. But there's some moving pieces right now where I think that I'll be able to get one of either Kittle or potentially Mark Andrews at some point this offseason.
All right, well, let's jump into your wide receivers, because this is where we got some room to make some moves. So you've got Allen Robinson, you got Juju, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, N'Keal Harry, James Washington, Robbie Anderson, and then a couple of young studs from last year, Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf. Man, that is – not only is that a good wide receiver room with a couple of proven assets in Allen Robinson and Jarvis Landry, just guys who put points in your on your scoreboard each and every week. But man, a couple of real up and comers in Debo and DK, and then the enigma that is Juju. Is Juju the guy that smashed it in 2018 with Big Ben and Antonio Brown, or is he the guy who struggled last year? I think we're going to see a lot more of that older Juju a little bit after midseason. I talked about that earlier with James Conner. So how did you craft this wide receiver room? I love it.
Yeah, so for me, like I said, I'm actually in KC, but I'm from the Ohio area, used to live around Chicago, so I'm a big Chicago fan on the NFC side. So I've had Allen Robinson. I think I've had him since that first year that we started up. He was one of the ones. He had just come out. I'd gotten him in that rookie draft. So I've held on to him through thick and thin, the injuries, the ups and downs, but it looks like he's turning it around. Juju is actually the enigma piece that I picked up this offseason. So that was part of the trade. You're not going to like this. I'm just going to warn you beforehand. I actually shipped away your favorite guy, Scary Terry, in order. I warned you, but it was in a package trade. I shipped off Hunter Henry, Terry McLaurin, and Russell Wilson. And then that's the one where I ended up getting back Hooper. I got Juju, and then I got Rodgers back in that one. So, like, didn't win that trade per se, but I have a lot more confidence. Just, I mean, you could break down the age. We could get into this whole conversation with Juju versus Terry, but I personally have more confidence in Juju long term as opposed to Scary Terry. I'll let you jump in if you want to talk about it.
No, I'm not going to. If you want to hear my professing of the Terry McLaurin love, all you got to do is follow me on Twitter or listen to the Dynasty Warzone. I'm supposed to be getting one of those little badges on the Dynasty Trade Calculator. You know, like certain guys have their mans. Terry McLaurin, I hope one day will be my mans, because I love that dude. And it's not so much like just like a football skill, but throw in Twitter Terry McLaurin route running, and it will pull up this little 1.5-ish minute tweet from last year at training camp, and just listen to the way that he speaks on route running and the way that he articulates and the way that he at the highest of levels breaks this down. And in my mind, guys like that just don't fail. He'll overcome a quarterback position. I don't know. I'm not going to get to Scary Terry, but I love that dude. So a couple of things on this roster. The two guys I'm not moving, because the points they will put in your lineup each and every week will not be replaced via trade. No one is going to give you top 10 wide receiver value for Allen Robinson. They're, even though he's younger, I think he's either 6 months younger or 6 months older. He's younger. He's 6 months younger than Michael Thomas. And he's going to be a free agent. And hopefully this time he chooses smarter. I know you like Chicago. But, dude, I don't understand how a man who spent the first few years of his career with Blake Bortles to just go work with the new Blake Bortles. How about this time? You know, you go chase a Russell Wilson. You go across to Green Bay and play with an Aaron Rodgers. You go to New York and work with a young Daniel Jones. Please, for the love of God, don't go chasing the next Mitch Trubisky. Whatever you do, man. But no, you're never going to get back in trade capital what this guy's worth. So him and Jarvis, you know, they're wide receiver one. Jarvis has got a lot of wide receiver one seasons under his belt, and he's a lock. He plays the wide receiver game that really matches Baker's skill set, in my opinion. I don't think that's Odell. I like Odell, but this is a team that's going to run the ball and short, safe passes this year, and I love Landry. Now let's talk Juju, Harry, Debo, and DK. So I'm looking at this, man. You know, I was looking, if you're going to do a one-for-one, like you're just trying to move one wide receiver for one running back, because running back depth is what you really need more than anything else, and you're going to get JT. We like that a lot. So I did a little research for you. Running backs, similar ADP and trade calculator range for him would be Miles Sanders would be my number one target. Now, he might be hot to get, man, because he is a Twitter steam machine right now.
Yeah, for Miles Sanders, I agree. He's probably the most attractive one. The only thing is the guy that has him still has the unsure situation of Kenyon Drake, and those are his RB1 and RB2. So he doesn't have a ton behind them either depth-wise, and he's actually the guy that won last year because he's got Lamar. And so for that team, I don't know if he's an attainable target for a 1v1 because he's already set at the wide receiver position.
Oh, okay. Well, so some other names that I threw in there. So like Debo. Debo's very hot. He lost a little bit of momentum when they drafted Brandon Ayuk. But like a Debo or a DK, again, you're not trying to win the trade. You're trying to win the league. That's our goal. I mean, I had some packages of Debo and Todd Gurley combined. And in the calculator, you know, Debo and Todd Gurley for Sanders, you're quote-unquote losing that trade by about 15%. Debo and Todd Gurley for Josh Jacobs, again, you're quote-unquote losing that trade by about 10%. The same two for Joe Mixon. You're actually winning that trade, winning by about 3%. And then to get up to the Nick Chubb category, that has like a 20% difference. So you may have to add a little bit to that. But those are the kind of guys that I would at least take shots at. I would start, you know, that's that range I would want to be. I don't think you're going to bump into that next tier where you're going to get a Kamara or a Zeke, obviously a Barkley or a Christian McCaffrey type. But that would be the range that I would want to get to.
I agree. My target out of that group would probably be Josh Jacobs. I had the 102 last year and really wanted him to fall, but he didn't. Obviously, he went one overall to the guy before us. And so for me, that's probably the target that I'm looking at. That's the team that probably needs the most depth out of any of them in our league. So I think that's probably the most attainable trade for me.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm very intrigued by DK, but clearly with this wide receiver core, you could afford to dangle him. And he's very polarizing. He has his staunch fans. He has people that don't love him at all. And then I'm one of the guys who's in the middle. I don't know. I want to see a repeat of it. I want to see that success translate over again. I want to see him take the wide receiver one role, but I know a lot of people think he already has it and that Tyler Lockett's going out to pasture, but it's been said that that's going to be a higher volume offense this year, but I need to see it to believe it. You know, they brought in the corpse of Carlos Hyde. I'm not going to say anything disparaging about Greg Olsen. I love Greg Olsen. I don't care if he's 107 years old. Greg Olsen rocks, man. And so, but there, you know, those are a couple of guys. I mean, I would really try, if possible, to keep Robinson, Juju, Landry, and then you have some filler guys with Robbie Anderson, with you know, N'Keal Harry. I like this year. I think his skills will jive a little bit better with Jarrett Stidham than it did with Tom Brady. Tom Brady he's going to throw you open as you create separation, and that was never N'Keal Harry's game. He might get a little bit more of those contested catches that he's really, really good at, which is probably the reason why you would have drafted a guy like that with Jarrett Stidham. So I wouldn't move him because N'Keal's value is depressed. James Washington's not lived up to the hype. And Robbie Anderson, I like Robbie Anderson. Carolina was a team that passed the ball like 630-plus times last year. And even though they have a different offensive coordinator, if you want to know what the Carolina offense is going to look like, Joe Brady, go back and watch the LSU team from last year. This is a team that's going to chuck the ball around the yard. I know there's concerns about him, but Robbie Anderson will be the bye week fill-in type guy that is worth more to this team than the second round draft pick that you would be lucky to get for him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, I see. I mean, obviously I'm not comparing him to Ja'Marr Chase, even in the least bit, but I see him playing that Y role in Joe Brady's offense is what I see when it comes to Robbie Anderson, because DJ Moore's got the Justin Jefferson role locked down pretty well. I think they play a pretty similar style. So I completely agree with you on that one. He's going to get fed a lot. I picked him up actually pretty late last year, and I was really happy with where he landed. So,
yeah, like I said, I know Christian McCaffrey's going to get a ton. I know that DJ Moore's going to get a ton. Let's say they get 150 targets each. Sounds like a lot, but it's really not. That leaves another 330 for guys like Ian Thomas, like Robbie Anderson, like Curtis Samuel. And this and this defense, even though they drafted 7-8 defensive guys, all defense with their draft this year, that's still going to be a young, growing pains, playing from behind a lot defense. I mean, they're in a division where every offense is good. Atlanta's offense is good. Carolina's good. What they call it now, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is going to be strong. So I think Robbie will give you a little bit of that injury insulation. You know, you're not going to love throwing Robbie out there each and every week as your flex or wide receiver three. But but you've got the depth. So those are some of the moves that you're trying to make. As far as that championship winning piece, it's more of a redraft move, and you are a redraft player. But if it's a move you're willing to make, you know, that's where you just need to go out and look at veteran quarterbacks. And by veterans, I mean, you know, we're talking Matt Stafford, we're talking Matt Ryan, guys, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a guy that I love. I don't know what you'd have to pay for him in this league, because these guys have a disproportionate value of the quarterback position in a one QB league. But I would just start looking at schedules. I think the Fantasy Footballers just put something out about strength of schedule, and some other people did too. So just though 2020 QB fantasy strength of schedule in the old Twitter machine or the interwebs, and see what comes up, because someone's already done the work for you, and then just look and say, oh, hey, so and so's got a really great schedule. And for me, what makes a great schedule is guys who play in domes. Why in domes? Because when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he plays in Green Bay. It's May. The end of May, there could be a foot of snow tomorrow, and I would not be stunned in the least bit. So, you know, if you're looking for that guy, those are the kind of guys. Drew Brees plays in a dome. I think they have a couple of back-to-backs or quick games with both Tampa Bay, who plays in Florida. Ironically, they play in the South. And you know, looking for a cheap option that can help you, you know, if that's your real goal, because that's the insulation you need. You're going to get JT to round out your running backs, but I would still look to move off of Gurley. I've heard it said by physical therapists and people of the like that hard surface indoors in Atlanta is not great for his knee. And look, you know, that there could be a potential flare up. I don't know how accurate that is. We were laughing about the quarter rep on the not even a squat, but of a leg press of all things. So those are some moves I would make, man. I really think this is an overall pretty solid lineup. It's always been said that it takes skill to make the playoffs. It takes skill to navigate a 13. I'm assuming it's a 13 game regular season to, you know, set your lineup and put your team in a position to be successful. And it takes luck to win the championship. But sometimes we can manufacture our own luck, and that's where. The only thing I think that you could really do to really insulate this team from that standpoint is to get that quarterback cheap, older veteran, to, you know, just in case Rodgers has a bad season, he hurts that collarbone again. Drew Brees would be a good one. Obviously, you can sell the, hey, he signed a futures contract with NBC. He may only have 1 year. Phillip Rivers, I don't know what Phillip Rivers contract. I know it looks like it's a one-year deal, but I don't know what his plans are. But Phillip Rivers is the kind of guy, you got that 309 pick. You know, when that pick's on the clock, go to that Phillip Rivers owner. Maybe he's QB 3 or 4. You know, that's a dirt cheap investment in a guy that I know plays in a dome, that's got T.Y. Hilton, that's got young Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, who we all see doing things, several running backs to check the ball down to. You could do worse than Uncle Phil, and I know everybody hates him, but he was QB 8. He was QB 18 overall last year in 4 point per passing touchdown, and people are so down on him and presuming that he's going to retire. I wouldn't be surprised if you could get him at that 309 or that 404. That gives you that 2020. I'm making my big run play without really mortgaging the future of making that move at the 204.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I have two names. So Phil Rivers is a good one that I was thinking about as well. That is actually a guy's third quarterback. How would you feel about Kirk Cousins with the shipping off of Stephon Diggs?
You know, Kirk Cousins is everything I hope Baker Mayfield turns into. Just a guy who's going to give you QB 8 to QB 12 range. It would really come down to cost. You know, if you want to DM me, I mean, he's a great target. Yeah. But if when you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you know, that's safe, you know, like we talked about earlier, I think his days as a top five QB are mostly behind him. But if you're going to gamble on a guy as your QB2 at those kind of costs, I would much rather gamble on someone else like Daniel Jones than Kirk Cousins. I got to assume their value in this league are very similar or close to. Yeah, so I would much rather go with a guy that's got a much higher ceiling, even if you're sacrificing some of the safe floor of a Kirk Cousins.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that was one of them. And then the other one I was actually looking at, with everything that's flown in this offseason, how do you feel about Derek Carr? Because I have a feeling I could get him on the real cheap.
He would fall in that Phillip Rivers. He would fall in that now, obviously, you're not going to get the kind of points out of him you would get with Drew Brees, but in that price point, to use a to use a sales term for that price point, I mean, all Derek Carr did last year, A, you've already got Mariota, which is not a bad, not a half bad play, but you're talking about a guy who had a 70% completion rate last year, had 4,000 yards passing, and he did it without his wide receiver one because his wide receiver run threatened to whip the GM's ass and got traded to New England. And he did this with Tyrell Williams, who was hurt.
Who was hurt half the season.
Yeah, missed a few games. Hunter Renfrow, excuse me, who missed a few games of his own. An emerging tight end in Darren Waller and a couple of running backs. And what's Derek Carr got now? Well, now we've got Henry Ruggs, and you know, you can do your own research, but go back and read draft reports on Derek Carr. Now, he's got to have the balls to pull the trigger, but he's got a pretty good deep ball. So you added Henry Ruggs. We added Bryan Edwards, who I think will be the heir apparent to Tyrell Williams, who will go into the season healthy. We love Hunter Renfrow in the slot. I want to see year two out of Waller. We know Jacobs can catch passes, and word on the street is that he will. Jalen Richard's a good pass catcher, and we added Lynn Bowden Jr. You know, a lot of these guys can take a 5-yard screen pass to the house. So Derek Carr is not a bad dirt cheap option. He's actually a guy that I have on a lot of my super flex rosters as my QB3, and I love it all day. I keep assuming they're going to bench him for Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota, you think Carr won't turn it loose, mister. Watch some Marcus Mariota. He really won't turn it loose. I think he wanted to get closer to the West Coast, make that plane ride back to Hawaii a little bit shorter. But, man, that's your roster, dude. So, listen, I want to thank you for jumping on with me and sharing. I didn't have a whole lot of profound things to cover, but I think some of the smaller moves that you can make with a roster of this level are the ones that'll make the biggest payoff. And but before we go any further, when we wrap this up, I just want to make sure that, guys, I found out after the fact that this guy's a ringer. If he sounds like such a natural on the podcast, it's because he hosts a podcast of its own. Now, it's somewhat sports-related, but, dude, Dallas, tell him about your podcast. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, so like I said, most of our league that is in it right now, we were all in the same fraternity in college. We've been friends outside of it. And then it all kind of started because we wanted to talk about fantasy football. We loved fantasy football. That's how it kind of started. But we'll talk soccer. We'll talk political random stuff. We'll talk random pop culture stuff. But for me specifically, and then my co-host Dalton, we're pretty big history buffs too. So we love sports history. So one of our favorite things to talk about is different wacky sports history related events that have happened. Like I said, we're both from KC. We love talking Sporting Kansas City, the U.S. men's national team. So it's a little bit of everything. But we really like talking about sports history, how it shaped us, how it shaped us, that type of thing. So.
Well, dude, that's all. Now, are you on iTunes or just like a private podcast?
It's a private podcast, but we've been talking about posting it for a while. So if there's any interest and I get some reach out, I'm sure we'd be more than willing to put it out there.
And you can find Dallas on Twitter at, again, Salad Galore. That's SalladGalore. And, man, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for sharing your roster with us, and thank you for – I know you said as a good podcast host, and I'm very proud of you. You've done a lot of homework, and you knew the show format. thank you for working with me as I threw you a couple of new curveballs as we talk tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, Memphis. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. We're going to get you on the Dynasty Warzone real quick. But on behalf of Dallas, so something new. So on the Dynasty Warzone, we always sign off with, and here at the Dynasty Warzone, we're just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football, which is true. But how I'm going to sign off here on the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor going forward is your Dynasty roster is not a life sentence. We can fix it for you. Thanks for tuning in. On behalf of Dallas, I'm Memphis. We'll talk to you real soon. Thanks, guys.
Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago. And never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough. And so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.